Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Now that is the most powerful man in the land. And he said, Paul, you're crazy, Paul. It's not a good assessment from the most powerful person in the land. Thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But as he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king, King Agrippa, he knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I will call for thee in a more convenient hour. You may be seated. I want to talk to you just a few moments on this thing was not done in a corner. You know, we should not be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. And we ought to not be ashamed of Jesus anywhere. Where it's the Christ of Cana, Christ of Galilee, whether it's Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is. A friend of mine was doing a funeral here in San Antonio, and he's a Pentecostal pastor from the Golden Triangle, and this lady had been a military officer, and she was young, and she died here in San Antonio. So they did her funeral over at Fort Sam, and my friend was a Pentecostal pastor, but he's very well-educated, great speaker, very dignified. And he had to share with another Pentecostal pastor. And he said when they introduced that Pentecostal pastor, he said, had all those military officers sitting there, said that other little Pentecostal pastor, said he just started screaming and running back and forth as fast as he could. And he said, I was never so embarrassed to be a Pentecostal in all my life. And he said, they'd just done a 21-gun salute, and all I could think is, I hope to God they'd turn and shoot him. But he said they didn't. But he said, I was embarrassed by the way he was acting. And so you can be embarrassed by people, but you should never be embarrassed because of Christ. Jesus Christ suffered great humiliation, the Bible said. He died on the cross, stripped of his clothes, humiliated for you. So we should never be ashamed of Christ. No matter what form he takes, no matter what he's doing. I mentioned the other night that when he turned the tables upside down, his disciples said, the zeal of the house has eaten him up. They tried to explain why he was acting like he was. But Paul said to Festus, the governor, and King Agrippa, he said, this thing was not done in a corner. He said, I'm not trying to hide it. What thing was he talking about? He was talking about the experience that he had received on the road to Damascus that changed him so drastically that even his personality was changed. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he never got away from that. That's what he was talking about, this experience, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, what the Bible calls the day of Pentecost. There's a lot of bad connotations connected by secularism and by religion to Pentecostalism, and rightly so. There are people that have erred in so many areas, everything from handling snakes to everything. But it in no way derides the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said you'll never see a counterfeit dollar bill. They always make counterfeit 20s. Number one is because they're worth something. They're worth $20 if you can get somebody to take them. And secondly, they're not so big that people reject them because of their size. So most counterfeits are $20. You know, we occasionally get counterfeits here in the church. Take them to the bank, and they came back and said, that's counterfeit. And we don't know who you are, but we're looking for you. No, we're sure that's passed innocently. All of us have handled. But there are a lot of counterfeits, but only things that are valuable are counterfeited. And so there are counterfeits to what happened on the day of Pentecost. But I can promise you that what happened on the day of Pentecost was a plan of God, well orchestrated, and it is a legitimate experience even today. It is said that perhaps as many as 1 billion people now have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 billion. It's spreading. There are some countries in Latin America that have as many as 80% of the population that speak with tongues and have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a legitimate experience. I heard of a church some time ago in upstate New York. It was a Catholic church, and the Catholic church has been greatly responsible for the charismatic renewal. And so the Catholic church had people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so those people wanted a more Pentecostal service, and so they gave them a sanctuary in upstate New York in the bottom of the church, in the basement of the church. And the father looked out one day, and he had 18 people. He said, how many people's in the basement? They said, about 350. What had happened was the Spirit of the Lord had drawn all those Catholics from that main sanctuary. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is like a magnet. It draws you in because you find out it's everything Christ said it would be. It's a comforter. He said it's a comforter. He said after you've received it, it is power. The Holy Spirit is the engine of the church. That's the reason why there is a great falling away of most major denominations. Great denominations that have been in this country for hundreds of years are having problems now, filling their pulpits, filling their pews. And the reason why there is an absence of the drawing power, there's an absence of the engine, the power of God. But there is, if you can hear it, you know, it pays to be spiritual. When you're spiritual, you know things before they happen. And in the spirit, I hear something. And it is the going of the wind in the mulberry tree. It is the preface to what God is about to do. If you are spiritually sensitive, you can see some things. I see some things. In Ezekiel's boneyard, which is emblematic of the revival of the last day church, those bones begin to get up. And the wind began to blow. And the Bible said the Spirit bloweth where it listeth. And praise God, it is happening. Right here in a school district just south of San Antonio, there was a young lady that was vitally involved in the school district. But she came not to our church, but she came to a church on the south side and got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when she got on fire with the Holy Spirit, she let everybody know that. And so they decided they would fire her from the school. She was a teacher. And they called a board meeting. And as they were having the board meeting, discussing how to get rid of her, the superintendent said, I hope you realize you're going to have an awful lawsuit. And he said, not only that, he said, you're going to have to fire me too because I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Case dismissed. Case dismissed. Ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of the Lord is moving everywhere, and you have seen nothing yet. But it began on the day of Pentecost. The church did not begin on the birth of Christ. The church did not begin with the ministry of Christ. Everything Christ ever said about his church and the Holy Spirit was in future tense. He said, you're going to. It will happen. I will build my, always future tense. And it was always pointing to the day of Pentecost. What was the day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost was a day of Israeli feast. It was one of the feast days. And so it was called the Harvest of Weeks. It was when they celebrated the fact that they got their harvest in. And so that was what they were doing in Jerusalem on that day. And God chose the day when Jerusalem was at peak population, peak capacity. It was filled with people. And he told them to go to the upper room, and there they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were. But they didn't stay in the upper room. They came out of the upper room. And they began to mock them and said, "These men are drunk." And the apostles stood up and said, "They're not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But he said, "This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel." Because the Holy Spirit had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Ezekiel prophesied about it and said, "God will give you a new heart and a new spirit." Isaiah prophesied about it and said, with a stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to my people. Joel prophesied about it, and Peter quoted him on the day of Pentecost when he said, "This is that was spoken by prophet Joel." When Joel said, "In the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh." Every human being on planet Earth is going to receive a visitation of the Holy Spirit and have to make their choice, yes or no. And friend, I want to tell you there are millions and millions that are receiving that experience today, and it is only going to accelerate. Don't give up hope for the church. It's going to get better and better and better. It's just that sometimes we hide our light under the bushel. We don't let people know what's happened. I got saved and gave my life to Christ when I was 10 years of age, and it was a marvelous experience. But it was nothing like the night that I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was 13 years old then. It transformed me immediately. When I went to high school at Mooresville Consolidated High School the next morning, I was a different person. I'd never witnessed to anybody. I'd never shared Christ with anybody. But now I was empowered as a 13-year-old boy, and I've never, ever been the same. But we should not hide it under a candle. This is the engine of God's church. This is the power of the last day. You need to be filled with God's Spirit. And every day you need to let that Holy Spirit move through you and guide you. And don't be ashamed. There was a family, and I saw the girl the other day in a business place. She said, "You don't remember me," and I certainly did not. Thousands of people. And she said, "I'm the woman from down in Corpus Christi, down in the Rio Grande Valley. I was a young girl when we came to your church." And I still didn't know. And she said, "You remember, you came and preached for us." I still didn't remember. She said, "You remember my dad was the Baptist pastor." And then I recalled the whole story. This just happened to me a few weeks ago. And she said, "My dad pastored the church there in the Corpus Christi area, and it was Baptist. But my mother liked to visit your church on Saturday nights." Chris, remember, you used to have those Saturday night service. And said, "We got to driving all the way from Corpus Christi to Living Way Church on every Saturday night." So then we'd come back to our Baptist church and have church. And said, "My dad invited you to preach for us." I said, "I remember the story exactly now. He invited me to come, but there was no sign out front that I saw. And he didn't tell me it was a Baptist church. I thought it was an Assembly of God church." Assembly of God church's doctrine is almost the same as what we have here at Living Way. They're very friendly and receptive to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I felt perfectly at ease preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit in what I perceived to be an Assembly of God church. And as I was preaching, the place began to shake and rumble. And you could see people begin to, they had never heard this message. They were Baptists. And while I was preaching, they began to stand up in the building and lift their hands. And before I had got through, about half of the congregation got baptized in the Holy Spirit while I was preaching. The point being, if I had known I might have been ashamed or fearful and held my light, hid my light under the basket. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that you should not be ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And if that same Spirit dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. What does that mean? That it means it will make you alive for any circumstance and any situation. The Bible said, take no thought of what you're going to say, because in that day, open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will speak through you. The writer said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Friend, I promise you, if you will get filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him become what He wants to be in your life, He will resolve innumerable problems in your life. He will solve all kinds of trials and tribulations. He will give you power and authority you did not know how. People just marvel that God blesses to me. People that are close to me, things always work out for you. I'm told that by people all the time, by secretaries and family members that work closely with me. Friend, it's not that they work out for me. It's that I am filled with a Spirit that knows the end from the beginning. He knows what to do and what to say. I challenge every one of you to get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and see what God will do in your life. You know, Jesus did not cry with a loud voice many times, but when you find in the scripture that Jesus cried with a loud voice, He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. He was excited about it. He breathed on His disciples and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. It was a future event, but He was very excited about it. I love it when Christ talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me that will baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. It was prophesied throughout the Old Testament, even at the beginning of the New Testament. Then Jesus arrives on the scene, and He's got the same message, but He amplifies it. He said, believe on me. But then He said, believe on me as the Scripture hath said. You know, everybody believes in Christ. The scholars believe on Him as a historical figure. The religious people believe on Him as a great rabbi. But friend, it's not enough to believe on Him as your parents told you, or your preacher told you, or your theologian, or your professor, or somebody else. You must believe on Him as the Scripture hath said. He said, when you believe on me as the Scripture hath said, something is going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the key to being filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no competition between Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. The Bible said in Jesus dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when you begin to believe on Christ, as the Scripture has said, something is going to happen. What does the Bible say? The Bible said He was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible said there was not anything that was not made by Him. He is not only the Redeemer, He is the Creator. Believe on Him as the Scripture has said. Think about Him. Let your mind dwell on Christ. It will perpetrate an explosion of the Holy Spirit in your human spirit when you begin to believe on Christ, that He is everything the Bible said He was, the bright and the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. He which was, is, and is to come. He that was dead, but now He is alive forevermore. He is the new wine. He is the bread that comes out of heaven. I challenge you. You cannot believe on Christ as the Scripture has said without something beginning to happen. You begin to think on Him, and you begin to recite what the Bible says about Him. He's altogether lovely. He's wonderful. He's the bright and the morning star. He is my soon coming King. He is my prophet. He is my intercessor. He is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, how I love Christ. And when I do, something inside of me begins to turn over. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Would you just think about Jesus a while? He will not do you harm. He is wonderful. He came to save you. He's got your fingerprints on his hands. He's got your sins on his back. He now has been your intercessor. He took your place. He went to hell so you won't have to go to hell. He goes to the Father, ascends to him, and intercedes at the throne of God in your behalf. And when the devil, the accuser, the brethren, makes railing accusations against you, Christ contradicts him and said, that's not true. They are holy. Jesus calls you holy. Jesus calls you spotless. Jesus calls you wrinkle-free. When you begin to praise him, the Holy Ghost begins to move inside of you. Pastor Brandon and I were in the Midwest, and I was preaching from that verse right there. Believe on him as the scripture has said. I wasn't in an altar call. I was just preaching about Christ as the scripture has said. And all of a sudden in that building, people began to stand and worship Jesus Christ. And when they did, others began to run up and down the aisles. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell in that place. Brandon would say to me later, that was the best service I've ever seen in my life. But while I was preaching, it was like Peter. The Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Friend, while I was preaching, over 200 people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit without an altar call, because I exalted Jesus Christ. Exalt Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Tell everything the Bible says. Read every good scripture about him you can find. Commit it to memory. Quote it often. And when you run out of scriptures, start telling what he's done for you personally. Let me give you, he said, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. What is the word of the testimony? Look what he's done for me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He put my feet on the rock to stay. He gave me hope when I was hopeless. He made me crave life when I was suicidal. He healed my body when the doctors gave up on me. Oh, let me tell you about Jesus. When I was broke, he fed me. When I was hungry, he brought the food. Jesus has always made a way for me. Let me tell you, he is my Lord and my Savior, and he is good all the time. He walks with me. He talks with me. He's promised me, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Oh, friend, praise Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Steve, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Don't seek tongues. See Christ in his fullness. It is an automatic response. When you believe on him, as the scripture has said, you will automatically be filled with the Spirit of God. What about the tongues? You won't have to seek it. His joy will become unspeakable. And when it becomes unspeakable, the Spirit gives you words that you've never uttered or learned in school. It's just a bubbling up. It's an overflow. It's an overwhelming. And every Christian needs to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. There is coming a day, and we are right at the precipice of it, when God is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. There's a revival coming to America. There's a revival coming to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, people are beginning to become desperate, and desperate people find God. Desperate people find God. When you've done all the drugs you can do and you're still miserable, you're going to try something else. When you've drank all the liquor you can contain and you're still not high enough, you're going to try something else. We're living in a desperate world, and a desperate world is a world that is hungry for the power of the living God. Get ready, get ready, get ready. He's going to scroll back the heavens and pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. my friend Tommy Kraft that's gone on to be in heaven with the Lord now. He lived to be 90 years of age, but a few years ago, he was playing golf with his great Baptist friend. And as they were playing golf, the Baptist pastor there in Mississippi said, "Brother Kraft, I respect you as a Christian. I just don't buy into this Holy Spirit baptism and tongues thing. I just don't believe it's for us." And Brother Kraft said, "I have no problem with that, sir." He said, "I understand that you're sincere. The Lord will do for you what he wants to do." And the guy said, "Well, believe me, I'm open. I'm not biased and I'm not a prayer." But he said, "It's just not for me." And he was in the pulpit of his Baptist church with 1,800 people present. And the Baptist preacher was telling about playing golf with Brother Kraft and the discussion they had. And he said, "Folks, I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit for this day and time. And I don't believe that Christians should speak with tongues. But," he said, "I am open for anything that God wants to give me." And that's as far as he got. The Holy Spirit fell like rain on him. And before they got through, over 1,000 Baptist people were on their feet worshiping the Lord in an unknown tongue. Let me tell you, my friend, the bamboo curtain can't hold it back. The iron curtain couldn't hold it back. There is revival in Russia. There's revival in China. God is doing a new thing. It's getting bigger and stronger, and you ain't seen nothing yet. The Holy Ghost is getting ready to fall around this world. God's got a plan. I was just with Bishop Samuel Smith. Bishop Samuel Smith is 81 years of age. He travels the world, literally the world. He calls me on a weekly basis, and every time he calls me nearly, he's in another country, dangerous countries. And he's done that for 50 years. And he gives me the reports of what's going on. And he called the other day and said, "Pastor Steve, I'm in Ethiopia. I'm in Ethiopia." And he told me the story that I was familiar with, and I shared part of it here one time. But there was a missionary from Louisiana. Becky knew the family well. They went to Ethiopia probably 30 years ago now. And they were, even though they had a great church in Louisiana and were successful, they were dismal failures in Ethiopia. He came back, and I was preaching in Houston at the time. And the only success that they had had in Ethiopia was they won one little boy, 12 years old. His last name was Teklamarian, Brother Teklamarian. They won him to the Lord. But the missionary was so disappointed in his failure that he came to Houston, Texas. And while I was preaching there at Life Tabernacle, he was across town in his residence, strapping a garden hose to the tailpipe of his car, running through the window of his car, shutting the garage door, starting the engine, and he asphyxiated himself. He committed suicide because he had failed on the mission field in Ethiopia. But he hadn't seen the end of God's plan yet. Friend, don't ever despair because you haven't seen the end. God sees the end from the beginning. When I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, several years ago, there was a man that was with the group I was with, and I was taking them to eat. And finally, I said, "Who is the little brother back here?" And they said, "That's Brother Teklamarian." Well, the story with Brother Teklamarian is he just went to be with the Lord. He got old, and he went to be with the Lord. But when my brother-in-law preached there, he said, "As far as I could see, 250,000 people, all of them worshiping God in the Holy Ghost." Dr. Smith told me last week, he said, "As far as I can see, Brother Steve, it was over 1 million people when I preached. Over 1 million people in a crowd." He said, literally people that went out of sight, and they were all raised in the churches that Teklamarian founded. That one 12-year-old boy, and Ethiopia is one of the most Pentecostal nations in the entire world today. Ladies and gentlemen, don't count God out. Don't count God out. He knows exactly what he's doing. And ladies and gentlemen, when God said in the last days, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh," he meant what he said, and he knew what he was saying. You ain't seen nothing yet. there will be a revival in San Antonio where Living Way and Community Bible and Cornerstone will never hold the people. The Catholic churches will be filled. The Methodist churches will be filled. I promise you that God's word cannot return void. And when he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, the Pentecostal experience that invigorates me every day of my life, the Holy Ghost that I can feel in this room right now is alive. It's coming to America. It's coming to the world. It's coming to a theater near you. It's coming to a school near you. My God is not finished. My God is not through. The best is literally at our fingertips. And so it behooves every one of you to get in the Holy Spirit. John, when he was about to die, he said, this is what I did. He said, I was on the Isle of Patmos and I was about to die, but he said, I got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall be strong and do exploits in the last day. It's time we got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And John said, instead of dying, he said, there I was in the Spirit. And he said, I began to hear voices sound like many waters. And I said, who are you? And he said, I am he which was and is to come. But I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I'm the Alpha and Omega, praise God. He said his feet were as fine brass. His hair was white as snow. In his mouth was a two-edged sword. He said, that's what happened to me. And then God gave me the book of Revelation that I write to you today. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not through. The end is going to be so much more bigger than the beginning. The day of Pentecost was great. The Holy Spirit fell on 120. They staggered out of that upper room, and people said, what is that? He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And the Bible said 3,000 people were baptized that day. But the Bible said the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. The glory of the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. If you've got an ear, you can hear. If you've got an eye, you can see. If you've got faith, you know. And friend, God is no respecter of persons. He will withhold no good thing from you. And friend, when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, it changed my life. The Holy Spirit is the compass of my life. It changes everything. The Holy Spirit is the reason why I'm so saved, sanctified, on fire for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the reason why I'm not broke. I've got money in the bank. The Holy Spirit is the reason why in a world that is suicidal, I'm living in the abundant life. The Holy Spirit is the reason why I'm fearless in a world that's lost its moorings and its compass. The Holy Spirit, I would urge every one of you to say, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor Steve, how do I receive it? Jesus said, simply ask the Father in my name. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Father will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit quicker than a father will give bread to a hungry son. Ask for the Holy Spirit. You say, why is it necessary? It empowers you. It literally casts fear out of you. It gives you blessed assurance. It gives you direction. It gives you moral compass. You know where to go and when to be there. You know what to say. The Holy Spirit guides me. Oh, so many times I'm in the right place at the right time with the right thing to say, and then God blesses me. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will find that your life will radically change. Radically change. Radically change. Hallelujah. I've told this 4 or 5 times, but when you leave this building today and you go out that concrete driveway, goes clear out to 1604 through the shopping center here or out to 35, I was getting ready to sign the document, and just as much as Kevin would say to me, I just heard a voice say, hey, don't sign that document yet. Get you an easement out the back of that property. I hadn't even crossed my mind. Brandon said, Dad, how did you think about it that many years ago? I said, I didn't think about it. I was ready to sign, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And Joe Mangione, the guy, I said, Joe, I got to have an easement across that property. He said, it don't matter to me. He was just flipping land. He didn't care. And so he just wrote it in and gave me a blanket easement over all that property. When they got ready to build that shopping center, my phone rang in my office. They said, Pastor, do you have an easement across this property? I said, yes, I do. A blanket easement. They said, oh, Lord, we can't do a thing without your permission. I said, I've been waiting on your phone call. What do you need? I said, I need a 30-foot concrete drive out of the back of my parking lot so we'll never be hemmed in. We'd be in a mess right now with this construction if it wasn't for that. And I said, after you get through with that, we'll also need a little cash check. You need to pay a little tithes to Living Way Church. They did not even hesitate. I released it. It took them 6 months to get me to sign the release. I released that after 6 months. The money's still in our savings account, and the driveway's still there. And somebody said, Steve, you're smart. I'm as dumb as a rock. But pray, I tell you what, I've got the Holy Ghost inside of me, and he knows exactly what you need. Friend, the Holy Ghost knows what you need. The Holy Ghost knows what you need. The Holy Ghost knows what you need. Get filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will open doors before you, and you will walk into his blessing like you've never seen. Friend, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I invite you to this altar right now. Come and let me lay my hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life and it's dormant, I request that you come to this altar and say, Lord, renew the Holy Spirit in me. Renewal in the Bible is a big deal. Renew every day. Every day of my life, I renew the Holy Spirit every day of my life. And the Holy Ghost is strong in my life today as I received it when I was a 13-year-old boy. And every day in my life, the Holy Spirit does something for me that I could not do for myself. Friend, to be empowered with the Holy Spirit is the key to abundance and blessing and success in every sphere of your life. This is Pentecost Sunday, recognized by the whole Christian world, the day that he poured out the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years ago, and he'll do it today. Becky is singing, I'm through.